Okay, so this morning we started the process of cultivating mindfulness and stability of mind, sati and samadhi, as supports for clear seeing, or insight, or vipassana. And we began working with the breath to strengthen that steadiness and refined attention. And then as the sati and samadhi naturally get stronger, we're able to stay with more and more complex and challenging aspects of our experience without getting caught in reactivity to them. So in terms of our retreat theme, what we're doing now is sensitizing ourselves to know very directly what we're experiencing so that we can understand what gets in the way of ease and peace. And what supports it. So as we began exploring this morning, bringing awareness to what's happening in the body gives us access to another whole channel of information, very useful information that reveals when and how we're getting entangled in our experience, and also how it feels when that's not happening. When we are able to access some degree of ease and peace. So we can think of the body then as an instrument that we can listen to, attune to, bring more and more refined awareness to, so it can support us to let go of clinging and resisting and of taking everything so personally, which the Buddha understood as the source of so much of our suffering. And this is in line with the instructions from the refrain in the Satipatthana Sutta, which, as you know, is the discourse on the four establishments of mindfulness. And the refrain says, mindfulness that there is a body is established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and continuous mindfulness, and one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. So that phrase, that term bare knowledge, is sometimes also known as bare awareness or bare attention, and it refers to the non-judgmental aspect of mindfulness, just being present with experience, without getting caught in our usual habits of reacting to it. As I mentioned last night, that unentangled knowing that Upasaka Ki Nanayon refers to, unentangled knowing. And this attitude of non-reactivity or non-entanglement, it's amplified by the second part of the quote about abiding independent, not clinging to anything in the world. So we can think of the whole of our insight practice as being noticing where, when, how we're getting caught in clinging or resisting experience, and how to help that clinging and resisting to release. This is how we move towards more ease and freedom. So I'll be saying more about all this later on in the retreat. For now, just a little bit of context about how this understanding of clinging fits into the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths being the core teaching of the Buddha. And in that teaching, he lays out what our existential problems are and how to free ourselves from them. So in the First Noble Truth, he acknowledges simply, there is suffering. It's just a fact of life that we experience at times varying degrees of unsatisfactoriness, of stress, of distress, of suffering, or dukkha, to use the Pali word. And often we add to that dukkha by how we then relate to that suffering. If it's unpleasant, of course, we try to get rid of it. If it's pleasant, we try to hold on to it. But all of that reactivity just makes us more unhappy, not less. And the Buddha referred to this reactivity as clinging. And in this context, clinging means any kind of holding on, grasping, craving, or identifying with our experience. In other words, taking it personally, having it define me, define who I am. And clinging here also refers to any kind of resistance to experience, pushing it away, rejecting it, avoiding it, or denying it. So clinging is a kind of umbrella term for any kind of reactivity, any movement of the heart-mind towards or away from anything. Now at times, this clinging can be very intense and obvious. Maybe you've already experienced some flickers of that today. At other times, it's more subtle and harder to recognize. And it takes that more refined sensitivity to notice whether there is some kind of unsatisfactoriness or stress, distress or suffering, and to notice how are we relating to that experience. Are we adding any unnecessary extra suffering to it? So even as you're sitting here right now, I like to check. Can anyone here say that you are completely, utterly, 100% happy and at ease in this moment? Anyone? No. No one's putting their hand up. Probably there's some slight discomfort in the back, in the body somewhere. Maybe there's a little bit of hunger or a bit of heaviness after lunch, some tiredness. And then how about the heart and the mind? Maybe there's some slight restlessness or mild anxiety or a bit of boredom or a bit of irritation about all this talk about suffering. So if we really pay attention to our experience, we start to notice that there's almost always some sense of unsatisfactoriness somewhere. And if there's no awareness, no mindfulness, we often unconsciously strengthen that unsatisfactoriness by identifying with it, clinging to it, resisting it. So we can learn to recognize this reactivity, even in the body, as various forms of tightness, of tension, contraction, stiffening, resisting, closing down of some kind. Or it can show up in the heart and the mind as emotions of liking and disliking, wanting and not wanting, and so on. And the danger is that when these early warning signals of reactivity aren't recognized early enough, they can quickly proliferate into whole thought storms of worry and restlessness and planning and fantasizing and rumination and obsession, which pretty obviously pull us away from the ease and the peace that we're aiming for. So in summary, we can simplify all of the Buddha's teachings energetically, physically, as this movement from clinging to release. So if your eyes are closed, you might just take a moment to see that, to feel, even in your own hand, what's it like when you're clinging, holding on? What's it like to experience release? So learning how to not cling, to abide independent, as it says, is a key aspect of this progress towards freedom. And the earlier we can catch that chain reaction of clinging and resistance, the easier it is to release it. However, what often becomes most obvious when we start to pay more careful attention to the body is just how often we do cling. How often we move into concepts about our experience, all those different assessments and analysis, stories and perceptions and narratives and views and opinions and beliefs of all kinds. Sometimes it seems that anything is better than just being present with the immediacy of what's happening in the body. And we start to notice how much of the time we're either living mentally in the past or in the future, caught up in regrets and worries and fantasies and daydreams. But again, this is a huge benefit of paying attention to the body, because when we're connected with the direct experience of the sensations in the body, we're right back in the present moment. For most of us, though, this is a skill that we need to practice. Most of us in dominant mainstream culture, we're so much more used to being in our intellect. And even the word mindfulness can tend to unconsciously reinforce this bias, tend to privilege the mind over the body. So for me, it was helpful to hear one of my teachers, Gil Fronsdal, talk about mindfulness as bodyfulness. And you might notice if that shifts your understanding to think of it as bodyfulness rather than mindfulness. So I think of this as a training in body literacy, a training in starting to notice all of those different physical sensations that are often just below the level of our conscious awareness. Those sensations of pressure or hardness, pulling, tightness, warmth, coolness and tingling, vibrating and throbbing. There's a whole language we can learn to develop to get more understanding of our physical experience. So in this next practice session, we're going to be developing that skill, training in body literacy. And because of the time of day and also because of the heat right now, I know there's often a tendency to go into what's known as sinking mind, to feel just a little dull, drowsy, lethargic. So we're going to be doing this practice together in pairs so we can use the support of each other to help strengthen and reinforce our mindfulness and our presence. So let's begin just very slowly and mindfully making a conscious transition from sitting to standing. And as you do that slowly and mindfully, noticing how do you get from the sitting posture to the standing posture? Which way does the body move? Do you move to the left or the right? Do you use your hands? Do you come to your knees? How do you make that transition? So we're starting to already get much more aware of all of these different movements, sensations in the body.